Well, good morning. Have you ever had the thought, I wish that maybe my life were not quite so routine or ordinary? Have you ever thought maybe your life feels kind of ordinary? Or maybe wouldn't it be nice to feel inspired more often? Maybe you've wondered, I want to feel the presence of God. I want to really feel the presence every day. You know, have some of those life-changing and transformational experiences that we read about in our New Thought books and magazines. Have you ever had those thoughts when life's just kind of rolling along? In her first book, Kitchen Table Wisdom, I want to tell you a little story about something that happened to Dr. Rachel Naomi Riemann, a wonderful writer and beautiful philosopher. She tells about the time when she first moved from New York to California. She had lived in New York all her life. And when she went to California, she had a garden that she planted. And it was so special because she said, I had never seen vegetables outside of a supermarket. And I imagine that might be true for people living in a place like New York. So when those vegetables started growing, you can imagine how fascinated she was, especially by the lettuce, because she used lettuce every day for her supper time. So one evening she went out, and she was gathering her lettuce, and she said she just looked at the lettuce before picking it and was marveling at its vitality. It had this vitality. And she said it seemed like it was just bubbling out of the ground. And standing there then, holding that lettuce, some words came back to her. Words that she had heard countless times throughout her childhood, at her parents' dinner table, at her grandparents' table, her aunts and uncles. But she said, standing there with that lettuce in her hand, it was as if she were hearing those words for the very first time. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hamotzi lechem min ha'eretz. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And she said she had said that blessing as a ritual so many times, automatically, you know, by rote, as a habit, like she had done so many things in her life. Can you relate? But this time, those words describe something special. It was that precious head of lettuce, the manna from the earth, that she used as sustenance. It represented that sustenance. But she said, you know, it wasn't the words themselves that were sacred. It was the act that they described. A beautiful moment. And she said that that simple task then of gathering lettuce from her garden took on a whole new meaning, like consecrating the ordinary. And being in that garden, the garden had a sense of wholeness for her, of holiness. And she knew that she was on holy ground. J.K. Bailey writes, once we realize that the everyday stuff of life is what wakes us up, we don't have to do anything or go anywhere to find the presence. Presence of God. And we will know that we're on the holy ground when we become aware of the God life all around us and can feel that gratitude and love for that life, for the holiness of life. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, defined holy ground as the substance in its original spiritual wholeness. Substance in its original spiritual wholeness. The place where I'm standing is holy ground. And the place where you are sitting is holy ground. And it's not because this is a church. It wouldn't be if it were a temple or a mosque or any particular place of worship. It's holy because we are on it, all of us. We are on it. Wherever we are is holy ground. Don't we say that at the end of every Unity service? Wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, God is. The Spirit of God is that sacred substance, the eternal essence of life. It's a cycle of life and death. And that spirit, that energy, continually moves everything forward, no matter where it came from, no matter where it's going, no matter how we feel about it, no matter whether we agree or not, life moves forward. Everything is infused with the sacred essence of God. There's no place where God cannot be. You agree? It's so easy to forget that, isn't it? In our daily life. What we have to do in order to remember it is to get ourselves out of the way. You've probably heard that before. What does that mean? Get yourself out of the way. Get your human ego interpretation of everything out of the way. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's all that means. Get back, put away all those things that make us forget and keep us from recognizing the holy ground that we're on. Once we can do that, we will remember this is holy ground. It always has been. We just forgot. You've probably heard the statement, the Buddhist teaching, before enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. And after enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. What is enlightenment? Remembering that in the chopping of the wood, in the simple carrying of the water, the sustenance, another sustenance of life. We can't live without precious water. That's when we know we're on holy ground. The New Thought philosopher Joel Goldsmith wrote the following. The truth is that the place whereon you stand is holy ground. As long as you are contemplating the presence and the power of God within you. Contemplating that presence, being aware of that presence, remembering that truth that's always been with us. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, we read about God calling to Moses out of the burning bush. And God said to Moses, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet. For the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then again in Joshua chapter 5, the commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for where you stand is holy." Now, metaphysically, as we talk about in Unity, what these words mean on a deeper level beyond the physical, metaphysically, the ground To stand means to stand on faith, to live on the basis of faith, trusting that somehow Spirit is working in every situation, doing the perfect work in our lives, acknowledging the power of the Christ within us. And by Christ, I don't just mean Jesus. I mean what Jesus came to represent, that saving power within us when we know we are created in the image and likeness of God. I believe that we can truly sense that holy ground when we remove the sandals from our feet. So what does that mean? We need to remove from the basis on which we stand, remove anything that would stand in our way from recognizing the truth. What is it that stands in our way that keeps us from remembering the truth of who we are and the holiness of life? How about feeling anger? How about feeling sadness? Which, of course, these are natural things, but when they are felt to extreme and they're not moved through and let go, then they stand in our way. How about anxiety? Worrying constantly, resentment, depression, the need to control everything. That doesn't relate to any of us, though, right? Judgment and condemnation, not letting ourselves off the hook or someone else for what we perceive they have done. All of these things stand in our way. They become those sandals on our feet that block us from feeling and recognizing the holy ground. When we can remove those self-imposed barriers, because that's what they are, we remove them from our heart, from our soul, then we know we're on holy ground. Then we can be the true expressions of God, be the love, be the joy in this world. And that is when the holy ground becomes heaven on earth. We talk about manna from heaven. We don't need manna from somewhere up there. The manna comes from the earth. The earth is heaven. It is heaven on earth. We just forget that. When we can consecrate the ordinary things in life, just like Rachel did with her garden and her lettuce, then those things that we now hold as sacred, like that lettuce, they remind us. And as we go about our daily lives and we have those simple things, they will then remind us that we are on holy ground. Because they're not just simple things anymore, they are sacred. We have consecrated them. In the Zen Buddhist tradition, this is often called mindfulness, when we can be aware of the presence through our daily lives, no matter what's happening. In his book, Peace is Every Step, I'm sure you've read some of Thich Nhat Hanh, the wonderful, wonderful monk. Well, one day, he tells a story about the Buddha. And the Buddha was sitting before, a crowd of over 1,000 people. And they were monks and nuns for the most part. And it was his time to teach them. So the Buddha stood up, and he held up a simple flower. He didn't say anything. He just stood there with his flower. And he looked at all the folks in the audience, and he noticed that they were all looking very serious, and they were all very silent, kind of like you are right now. Because they were thinking so hard, what could the Buddha mean by this gesture of holding the flower? What does the flower mean? I have to figure it out. And as he stood there, one monk smiled at him. And he looked at that monk smiling, and he smiled back. And then he spoke, and he said, I have a treasure of insight, and I have transmitted it to you. You know, people hold up a flower to us all the time. They come to us, they show us something, they want to speak to us, to give us their love, their attention. And how often do we sit there thinking with our intellectual understanding, our Jacob understanding of the 12 powers, and we're trying to figure out what could they possibly want? What's the ulterior motive? Why are they telling me this? Uh-oh, it's about me. And all of these things go through our minds as we overanalyze. But maybe we are just being given a gift, a simple, loving gesture, a gift of insight. And we're so busy thinking so hard that we don't see with spiritual eyes, we don't understand with a spiritual understanding. If we keep trying to figure out everything, figure out life, know why, I have to know why, I have to solve it, it's going to pass us right by. The monk who stopped thinking long enough to truly see the Buddha's flower, he saw with spiritual eyes, he was able to see the flower at its depth, the essence of the flower, the spirit within it. You know, the Spirit of God is with us at every single moment, and we are on holy ground. In fact, sometimes it's the most unlikely moments when we realize we're on holy ground. Unlikely, sometimes in great pain. I know myself, I tend to have migraine headaches. And very often, now when I am lying feeling incapacitated with pain, I find that these words come to me. Where I am is holy. Holy is the ground. Where I am is holy. Holy is the ground. And in that moment, those words, like a mantra, help me to stay focused on the truth that my body, regardless of what it is experiencing, regardless of what I am feeling, is still sacred. I am still whole. I am still complete. I am still worthy. I am still loved. And even in my pain, I am on holy ground. Now you all know, you have all experienced pain, emotional, physical, how hard it is in those moments to remember that you are indeed on holy ground. In Genesis, Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it." So how do we get ourselves out of the way? How do we take those sandals off our feet at the times when we need to? I have learned that we need to stop trying so hard. How often do you find yourself saying, "I'm trying, I'm trying"? Well, stop trying. Because sometimes in the act of trying, our ego gets so caught up in succeeding that it will sabotage us with this intellectual pursuit of trying. The ego wants to do, but the spirit wants to be. And then once you can convince yourself to stop trying so hard, just say, I am open and willing. Instead of thinking, I can't do it, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm too upset, I am open and willing. And try that in meditation. And know that meditation itself is nothing sacred. It doesn't make you more spiritual or more special because you meditate. If you feel like I have to meditate or I want to meditate because I want to be more spiritual, then your meditation becomes another tool of your ego. Meditate simply being still and quiet and letting all the chaos pass you by. Do that as a tool for remembering, not to become something special, but just to allow yourself the peace, the quiet, to get out of the fray so that you might experience that presence of God. And then try contemplating a simple object, like a flower, like a head of lettuce, a stone, a candle, and just acknowledge that object for itself. Notice its beauty without judging. Oh, the petals are getting brown, or one of them's falling off, or oh, maybe I should have picked the other one. Or just say, this is an insight from God. This is the beauty of the earth. I want to share with you a beautiful poem called Mystical Search by Rabbi Chaim Stern. Days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Lord, fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed, and we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place, and we did not know it. How filled with awe is this place. I'd like to ask you to affirm that with me, but we're going to affirm that we know it this time. How filled with awe is this place, and I know it. Together again, how filled with awe is this place, and I know it. Bear with me, please. I like to move furniture. Holy, holy is the ground, forest, mountain, river, listen to my sound. Great Spirit circling all around me. Where I am is holy, holy is Golden River, listen to my sound. Great Spirit circling all around me. Please join me. Where I am is holy, holy is the ground. Forest, mountain, river, listen to my sound. Great Spirit circling all around me. Where I am is holy, holy is the ground. Forest, mountain, river, listen to my sound. Great Spirit circling all around me. Where I am is holy. Holy is the ground. Let us take a deep and long breath as we breathe in that holiness of life. And then let go. Let go, removing from your awareness, from your feet, from whatever you have that connects you with the earth. Remove all that blocks that awareness, the awareness of oneness with the Spirit of God. Breathe in again the knowing, the connection, the presence, the eternal essence of life, the precious breath. And let go as you relax in your chair. Let go of any pain in your physical body. Let go of tension. Let go of any anger and resentment that has been weighing you down. Breathe in the life of God. Let go of any needs that you believe you have that are unhealthy. Let go of sadness. Breathing in the precious breath of life. As you feel yourself becoming more and more relaxed, becoming more of who you really are, free from the burdens, free from the limitations that are self-imposed, free with every breath to remember the holy ground on which you stand. And as you relax more and more, letting go of tension, see in your mind's eye a simple object or a person, anything that comes to your mind, and notice that person, that object. Notice the beauty, the simplicity, the holiness. Remove any thoughts that come to your mind of judgment, of bad memories, of worries, and just love and appreciate this object of life bubbling up from the ground, the stuff of life of which we all are. And as we pause for a time of silence, gaze on your object of beauty on holy ground. Where we are is holy. Holy is the ground. Where we are is holy. Holy is the ground. I invite you to take another deep breath and let go of the weight of the world. Let it go. As we slowly begin to bring our awareness of the beauty of life, the holiness, the wholeness of life, bring that awareness back to your attention now. And ready yourself to go out into your day. What might have been just an ordinary day, knowing that you will see with new eyes, with spiritual eyes, having removed those obstacles from your feet, you will remember the truth. Where we are is holy. Holy is the ground. And before we open our eyes, let us say together the words that our way shower taught us, the words that help us remember the holiness of life, knowing that we are praying to that Lord of our being deep within us, when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
This is a time of gratitude. I'm certainly grateful for the wonderful message that we had this morning. I feel spiritually fed. I don't know about you. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, I think we're all in that meditative state still. So just as the church nourishes us, we in turn nourish the church. This is the time when we express our thanksgiving through our treasure. So take your gifts, if you will, and hold them in your hands and fuse them with heart energy and love to help multiply them as we recite the prosperity prayer together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. I'll start.
Join me as we affirm that as we give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the God within. Give thanks, we're forgiven. We are one, we are one. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the God within. Give thanks, we're forgiven. We are one, we are one. And when you feel weak, say I am strong. Or poor, say I am rich, because of what our God has done in us. And when you feel weak, say I am strong. Or poor, say I am rich, because of what our God has done in us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the God within. Give thanks, we're forgiven. We are one, we are one. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the God within. Give thanks, we're forgiven. We are one, we are one. And when you feel weak, say I am strong. Or poor, say I am rich, because of what our God has done in us. And when you feel weak, say I am strong. Or poor, say I am rich, because of what our God has done in us. Give thanks.
And we do give thanks. We are so grateful for this church, for this ministry, for the people, for the love within these walls every week. And so for all these blessings, we say together, thank you, God. We are grateful. Reverend Stanley, let's form a circle.
Come to you. All right, and we're still forming our circle there. At this time, we'd like to ask that if anyone has special prayer requests, prayers that they want to express of gratitude, or prayers to ask for special blessings on anyone, if you'd like to say them silently in your heart or speak them aloud, please do so now. I'd like to ask prayers for our own Nadine Wallenstein, who has come to all the Unity churches, so you all may remember her. And she is getting close to to the end of her journey, although she's still quite conscious, just getting weaker in her physical body, but her mind is strong, and so I ask prayers of peace and joy for her, and to know that God is with her every step of the way. And also, I'd like to ask for prayers for three women whose husbands have passed away within the last couple weeks. May they find the strength, and may their memories be a blessing. Christine Hoffman, yes, thank you. Oh, yes. Yes, he's now with Phyllis at peace. For all of these dear ones and for all of those who are in our hearts, for those all around the world, anyone especially in a place of turmoil or conflict, let us pray our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.